Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Nashville Predators taking on the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. Game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs finally here for the Predators. And to help us talk more about that, we welcome in our good friend Darren McFarland, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase, also handling the Predators pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Darren, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
The dynamic duo is back here on this Monday morning. Yeah, back
buddy.
At it.
That's right. Fresh sure. off some Arizona sun. We're back in here, buddy.
Yeah. They were debating, were you in the Grand Canyon or not? That was interesting. Did you actually go in the Grand Canyon?
I went down into it a little bit, yeah. Okay. I mean, I wasn't sitting there, you know, gallivanting around with the antelopes or anything, but I was down there a little bit.
Yeah. You weren't sucking on any cactus juice or anything?
Didn't quite go down that way.
You guys weren't doing peyote. Well, that's good. That's good. We've seen movies. What happens with peyote, okay?
We certainly have. We avoided that on this trip. Maybe next time. We'll see what happens when we get back down.
The Predators win the cup. Let's all go to the Grand Canyon and do some peyote.
Find some peyote together. Maybe that'll be something that happens.
Well, peyote there, out of the cup.
Yeah, maybe so.
Out of the cup. There we go. Now that is a party.
We could really get something going on that stuff.
I think we would make the news if we could do that. That would be awesome.
Yes, we would. So, Darren, it feels like it's been forever trying to get ready for this series and to get ready for this game. We're finally here, game one taking place tonight. What are your thoughts on this matchup for the Predators, and what sort of Predators team do you expect to see come out in this series in terms of the way they want to attack Carolina?
I expect them to come out like the other teams in game one that nobody's given a chance in taking game one in the Stanley Cup playoffs, huh? How about the Minnesota Wild going into Vegas and shutting them out? Islanders, Barry Trotz and company getting a win over Pittsburgh. But I'll tell you what, Capitals, which I don't know if that's not really an upset. I picked the Bruins, but boy, that Lightning Panthers game, give me some more of that. That's going to be a fun series, right? That was fun last night. Yeah. I expect it to be high drama, like we've already seen in game ones. You know, what's interesting is some things that I'm expecting is I think, like all of us, right, we're very curious to see what John Hines is going to do with this roster, because I think when you look at these teams, now that we saw them play each other eight times, and the Predators went 2-5-1 against Carolina, winning the last two, we know Carolina is just, they're ridiculous, right? Ridiculous forechecking team. They have so many boxes that they check, right? They've got loads of speed, high skill. Their passing ability is off the charts. They're forechecking, best in the league. They're big. They're not necessarily the most physical team in the league, but they're not afraid. They got big bodies. They just check. They're very good on defense. You know, they do so many things right, but they really hang their hat right on their speed, right? Their speed and their skill. And it's impressive. It's why they very could have easily been the President's Trophy winner. But that didn't happen. So the Predators, do they have speed? Yes. But I don't think I know they don't want to play that game, right? It's like Golden State in their heyday, to give both of you two basketball nerds a little reference. Nobody wanted to go up and down the court with them, right? I mean, nobody said, hey, let's try to beat Golden State at their game. That's not really the way you want to attack them. And I don't think the Predators want to do that with Carolina. I mean, I think they actually want to drag them into the trenches and do what this team and what David Poile told us that he was going to do in the offseason is make this team a lot more physical team. He told us that, you know, this team was going to have more grit, more, you know, 40 grit sandpaper to them, and it played out that way this season. Now, you know, Brendan Moore's a pretty good coach, at least in my opinion, and I can't imagine that I'm sure they've talked about it all week of not letting Nashville drag them into the trenches and try to slow this thing down, make it a physical series. Not that Carolina is allergic to a physical series, but I don't think that's necessarily what they want. So that's what I'm curious to see how this plays out, because I think something that everybody's trying to figure out with the lineups, right, what does that mean? I mean, if you're trying to do it, but can you pull it off? Is Cousins in there? Is Richardson in there? I mean, we're all trying to figure out, is Tolvanen going to be in the lineup? How he's going to play this out? But to me, the Predators want this to be a physical series. They want to do what they did these last two games, and Carolina wants to run away with it, Robbie, and show off their speed and their skill set.
Well, you brought it up, Darren. What do you think John Hines' answer will be to that lineup question? And what would you do if you were sitting there looking at Eli Tolvanen, knowing what he brings in the power play, but also knowing that he hasn't been as effective since coming back from injury?
Yeah, what would I do? I would have him in there, but I'm not sure that's going to be the answer. I'm not sure he's going to be in there. I suspect he will, but I don't know. I mean, it's like, for me, it's a little bit over 50% that he's in there. I think the interesting one that is right down the middle is Richardson or Cousins on that third line, right? Always going to be centering that third line, but who is going to get that nod? I don't think it's right. It's not going to be both of them. So who is it? I give a slight lean, and I feel like everybody I've talked to, this thing is right down the middle on who people think is going to be in there. I would give a slight lean to Richardson, and it's a lot more about just trying to read John Hines, the head coach. And so I think maybe the experience, I don't know. I think he's going to be in there. Like I said, Cousins is the guy you want in there because that's the style that you want. I'm just not so sure Carolina is going to allow that style to happen. Now, they may not have a choice, and good on the Predators. That's what they want. But, man, I think Carolina is going to be racing up and down the ice tonight. They're going to use all 200 feet, and they're going to get after it. And I'm going to give the slight lean to Richardson. I would have Tolvanen in there, but I think he's going to make it, but I'm also not sure if he's going to be in there.
Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick. Jace also handles the Predators pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network, on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road.
That answer was sponsored by Waffle House, and I'm sorry, Joe, but I don't know. I mean, I know there was a lot of back and forth, but I wish I had a definitive answer, but I'm truly just as curious as everybody else to see how this plays out.
Well, Darren, with that in mind, we were talking in the last segment about the X factor in this series for the Predators. If you had to identify one X factor, who would it be? And I'm not talking the obvious names of, you know, the Saroses and the Forsbergs of the world. Who is one guy that you would identify as an X factor in this series?
Yeah, I heard you guys were giving your boy Porth a little bit of, some stuff for his pick.
He deserved it. Wow.
Well, man, you guys are still relentless on Ryan. Okay. I'm going to
He's got Laviolette as his X factor.
Yeah.
I am going to go with Mikael Granlund. I think they need Granlund to be the guy that he's been all year. I think he is so vitally important to this team with what he can do, because he does it all and so many things go through him, and he is a creator of so much. He's also been productive. I think Granlund just needs to make sure he keeps doing what he's been doing. They can't have Granlund disappear in this series and expect to have a chance. There's no chance of that, in my opinion. He's just too important. We've seen it all season long. He has been a rock for this roster. He has been a steady force for them. You have known night in and night out what you're getting from Mikael Granlund. And so I would say, to me, Granlund's the X factor. In other words, he has to keep doing what he's been doing. He cannot disappear, or, in my opinion, they don't have a chance.
So, Darren, we make a lot of these on that.
I got crickets. No,
I like that pick. I like that pick, and that counts. And that's I think Granlund is on the right side of what could be an X factor.
Yeah, get out of here, Porth.
Yes,
Granlund had more points than Johansson this season.
So. How much did he get paid?
Well.
All right, then.
One of them is your number one center, one isn't, you know?
But, well, one has played like a number one center this year, and one hasn't.
He's not going to let this go.
That's how an X factor, you know, rises to the occasion. So, outstanding X factor-ness from Granlund. All right, so Darren, on Saros. I know I'm making a big deal of this. A lot of people making a big deal of this. It's one postseason series. But I do feel like this maybe helps chart the course for the future of that position for the Preds. And, you know, he's going to be the starter next year. We know that, regardless of what happens. But do you feel like this is a big find out what Saros is and what he can be moment?
Joe, I think it's a fair question because, right, we haven't seen that yet. And here's his opportunity. Yes, he got the opportunity last year. I think there were a lot of other X factors involved in why this team was unable to get out of that series against Arizona. They had a lot of issues that they addressed in the offseason, and the play in front of them, in front of him, got a whole lot better. But to answer your question, yeah, I really do, because I think UC Saros has answered the bell, right? We wanted to know what he would look like as a full-time starter. He was in a role this year that he's never been in. He's always been the sexy backup, and everybody loves the sexy backup in a lot of sports, right? The guy who can come in short stints and win you games, and everybody gets excited about that. And then you never know, though, truly, when they become whether it's the every down quarterback or the guy in between the pipes for a bulk of a season, how it's truly going to play out. Some guys you see like, okay, all right, they should have been the starter. And then some guys you see out there as the full-time starter, and you go, huh, yeah, you could see why he's the backup. He's a much better backup. Obviously, UC Saros has checked off all the boxes. I mean, he's a tremendous goaltender. He's had another unbelievable year. I think he's done. He's proven everybody that he can be a starter that carries, you know, the workload for a long hockey season. But now he's got to do it on the big stage, right? Because that's how athletes get judged. Ultimately, this is the final box to get checked. And can he now will this team to a series win? Can he now will this team to get on a long Stanley Cup playoff run? And so, yeah, I do think it's a fair question. I think everybody's curious to see how it's going to look. This team, the second half of the season, has played really well, and they got rewarded for it. They won 20 of their last 28 games, and now can they keep that up and find a way to beat the number one seed in Carolina? And look, it's just like Granlund. If they don't have UC Saros, I mean, I know these are stating the obvious, but Saros and Granlund, in my opinion, are two guys that – you have to have them. Like, you don't have a chance against a team like Carolina if they're not peak performers. So UC Saros is going to have to answer that question by playing huge for them to have a chance to move on to the second round. So, yeah, I do think all eyes are going to be on him to see if he answers the bell in this spot.
Darren McFarland, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase, also handles the Predators pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network, has been our guest, joins us every Monday at 9 o'clock here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can catch him each weekday 10 to 2 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren, great stuff as always, my friend, and thankfully we'll have an actual hockey game to talk about tonight. Looking forward to it.
Don't doubt about it, guys. Always fun. Thank you. Have a great rest of your show.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Nashville Predators. Get some of your texts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And speaking of the Predators, this week, 102.5 The Game will be on the road with your chance to win tickets to games 3 and 4 for the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs between the Preds and the Hurricanes at Bridgestone Arena. Today, Stillman & Company will be broadcasting live at Boom Boss, Craft Pizza, and Tap House in East Nashville from 2 to 6 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to game 3.
There will also, I'm hearing, be a lot of Pred swag
out there that
you could get.
So make sure you drop by Boom Boss, Craft Pizza, and Tap House today in East Nashville for Stillman & Company from 2 to 6. We'll be right back here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Friday, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly, a player that scores a goal in the game this Sunday night, you win a prize pack and a pair of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. The next chance to participate is coming up on Friday morning at 9:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Taking your thoughts on the Predators and the Hurricanes on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Pierre McGuire from NBC Sports joining us here at 9:30 on the program. So looking forward to his thoughts on this series and all things Stanley Cup playoffs coming up here at 9:30. Joe, let's go back to the text line. Got a texter that says, if it happens and Pekka gets playing time, how do you think he will do? Do you think the fans and teammates might feed off of it, knowing he's getting older and might not get much more time? So if it breaks out this way and either Saros isn't playing well or he gets hurt and Pekka's got to go in there and play, what's your confidence level if he's got to go in there and play at this point based on what we've seen out of Pekka Rinne this season?
Well, I think he could come in and do a good job. But as far as the you know, the team feeding off that or whatever, like you're not increasing your incentive, your effort, your intensity, your any of those words. You're not increasing it from being in the playoffs.
No.
Right? Like Pekka comes in and all of a sudden everybody's going to play harder. You know, I mean, no.
Well, you shouldn't. Let me put it that way. Because if you are, that's a problem.
Well, yeah. I don't think it has any sort of like positive impact on like team performance, but I think he could come in. And if you're the Preds, look at the rest of the field. You know, the Preds may be the last team in, and some people have them, you know, the lowest tier by themselves. I don't know how many teams could feel better about their goalie situation than the Preds should right now, because they do have a guy in reserve who has done big, big things in this tournament multiple times. So it's that's certainly one of the things that you put in the positive category for the Preds.
Joe, I was looking at the predictions that came out over the weekend. I don't think this is a huge surprise. I picked the Hurricanes to win this series in six games before I left last week, and very popular pick on ESPN, The Athletic, NHL.com, whatever websites you want to find. I think ESPN had 16 out of 16 analysts pick the Hurricanes to win this series against the Predators. Does that surprise you? Did you think more people might pick the Predators? Is it about what you thought in terms of the expectations for the Predators externally heading into this series? What's kind of been your reaction to what you've seen from the national media over the weekend?
It's about what I thought. I actually, if I'm surprised by anything, it's that my publication has 7% picking the Preds to win this series, and I want names put to the percentage.
That's right.
Good, you know, good for them. Go out on a limb a little bit. I'm not shocked that like ESPN, Sportsnet, there's zero. I'm not shocked by that. You figure maybe there'd be a straggler here or there. Your NHL.com, there is one.
Yep.
Who is it again?
Mike Morial from NHL.com. He is the lone person to pick the Predators.
The lone wolf. But no, it's not. And it's, look, I know in this town you can sit there and say, well, what? You guys haven't been watching them play. You haven't noticed the change. You haven't seen that Saro's been the best goalie. All those things. They all make a compelling argument. And I think the pressure that the Hurricanes are encountering for the first time as a group also is part of it. But a lot of these people picking the Preds to lose this series also are picking Carolina to win the cup. I mean, that's how good this team is. You got to keep that in mind. I mean, to me, the disrespect, I think Corey Curtis said this well, the disrespect would come from actually picking against the Hurricanes. You know, they are the favorite. They're the one seed. They are on the short list of probably four or five teams that I would expect one of those four or five teams to hoist the cup at the end of this.
Matt on YouTube says, I think the Preds play their best hockey in the underdog role, but how much of a chance do they really have to win this series? It's got to be under 30%, right? I don't know if it's under 30%. I saw Mike Kelly from the NHL Network talking about this on the broadcast, and they put, you know, equations and percentage chances on every series heading into it. He had the Predators right around 35% in this matchup against Carolina. At the end of the day, does that really mean anything? No. But to Matt's point, like, they're going to be a heavy underdog heading into this series. And I think the predictions that we've seen also go along with that as well, where if you're a Predators fan right now, you've got to kind of embrace that role. And I do wonder, like, not only from the underdog part of this, but I talked about it as well from Carolina's point of view. Like, this is the first time that Carolina has gone into a playoff run where they've got a lot of expectations on them. They are massive favorites in this series, according to the media, and they're a team that's not really dealt with that yet in terms of being the favorites heading into a playoff. They got through a magical run a couple of years ago to the Eastern Conference Final, and they were the darling of the NHL. Even last year, going up against the Rangers, a lot of people picked the Rangers to win that series. This is the first time that this group in Carolina has had to deal with expectations like this. And as we've seen firsthand, sometimes that can be a lot for a team to try to deal with. So I'm interested not only to see how the Predators handle the role of being the underdog, but to also see how does Carolina handle the role of being a favorite in this series.
Yeah, a favorite, You know, also a team that, you know, I think the counteract to that is a lot of talk about the physicality.
Yeah.
A lot of questioning. So even though they're the favorite, that's what people bring up. You know, again, I talked to Brian Boucher last week, and that's what he brought up. You know, maybe the Preds, the way they play, we saw it in the one game. Well, we saw it in both games. But like, again, you take more out of the game with both teams with their full lineups. Maybe that is the formula. Maybe this matchup isn't great for Carolina, which, again, is weird to even think about. The idea of someone saying in a postseason series, the Preds' physicality might be a little bit too much for you. You know, this is not something that we're used to hearing or talking about, but that's what they've become. But I do think that Carolina, the pressure of being a favorite, I think Rod Brindamore is probably using that narrative a lot and saying, okay, they say that they're going to push us around. They want us in a phone booth. Well, we can get in a phone booth too.
Some breaking news is coming from Chip Alexander, who covers the Hurricanes for the Raleigh News and Observer. Jacob Slavin on the ice for morning skate for the Hurricanes. So we talked about Jacob Slavin got hurt last Saturday against Nashville. I think their best defenseman that they have. What was his status going to be? He is on the ice for morning skate. I would expect that he's going to play tonight against the Predators. So we'll see what happens on that front. When we come back, we'll be joined by Pierre McGuire from NBC Sports. We'll look ahead to this series with him and look ahead at the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have partnered up to give you a chance to experience a Nashville SC game this season. Tune in later today and every Monday to Darren, Donick, and Chase for the keyword to text in to win. Good luck from 102.5 The Game, T-Mobile, and Nashville SC. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are efforting Pierre McGuire from NBC Sports to join us, looking ahead to this series for the Predators against the Carolina Hurricanes and a playoff run that, Joe, it's been awesome. The first weekend of the playoffs here in the NHL, we've had some overtime games. The one game that didn't go to overtime was, I think, the best of them all last night. Tampa Bay with Braden Point scoring the game winner to make it 5-4 with about a minute left in regulation. That Tampa Bay-Florida game last night was one of the best hockey games I've seen in a long time. It was a fantastic game last night to watch. Like, if you're a casual sports fan and you're not watching, like, you're not all that much into hockey, last night is the type of game that turns you into a hockey fan.
Yeah, I mean, I was yelling at the TV multiple times, like, holy crap, look at this, and then look at this. It was just nonstop. I mean, it was at a – the thing is, every game was good because every game is good. I mean, really. You get the occasional clunker, you know, somebody blows someone out in the playoffs. For the most part, you should watch every Stanley Cup playoff game you can watch, okay, if you like sports. But that – game, even compared to the other games, the pace, the like, just the skill, intensity, everything, it was different. That series is going to be spectacular, and I will say I agree with you know what Darren said. I mean Minnesota, or maybe that was Corey who said that earlier. Minnesota, that's a stunner to hold Vegas without a goal beyond 60 minutes of hockey. That is something else, quite a feat. So right away from the start, we've gotten some surprises. I guess if you're the Preds or a Preds fan, you hope, like, you know, it's kind of like save some shots for the next game.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if all these other series go sideways, you know, some of them have to be chalk, right?
You would think so. But if you're the Predators, you're hoping to keep that trend going tonight, coming out with a good start against Carolina. By the way, we were kind of wondering – who's going to be in goal for Carolina to begin this series? And it looks like we may have our answer. Now, there's a three-headed monster basically at goal for Carolina, and James Reimer's been a part of that, and that's not really been the case as much as of late. It's basically been between Peter Mrazek, who has great numbers against the Predators, and also Alex Nedeljkovic as well. And it looks like Nedeljkovic is going to be in there tonight for the Hurricanes. He is in the starter's crease at the morning skate, and you're talking about, Joe, going up against a kid who's played very well down the stretch for Carolina, but also someone that has no experience whatsoever in the playoffs heading into this. So I guess you can kind of view this goaltending matchup a couple of different ways if you're the Predators. Now, I will say, like, I think the Hurricanes, maybe more so than other teams around the league, like, if you can chase Nedeljkovic, Brendan Moore is not going to wait very long before he goes Mrazek. I think they've got a ton of confidence in whoever they put in there. But I guess if you're a Predators fan viewing this, you do have, and we talk about the lack of experience for UC Saros in the playoffs. He is the more experienced playoff goaltender heading into this matchup when it comes to him and Alex Nedeljkovic.
Do you think that Mrazek's bad finale was any kind of role in this?
I don't think so. I mean, a lot of people point to the success that Mrazek has had against Nashville, and I get it. I mean, I think he, up until that night, was 10-1 against the Predators in his career. So, I mean, there's something to that. And obviously, a lot of that came while he was with the Red Wings, and the Red Wings were no good, which is still one of the most interesting things about this when it comes to the Predators and the Red Wings, looking back at that. But no, I mean, the way Nedeljkovic played down the stretch, I always thought he was going to be the guy to start this series. I'm not surprised they're going with him in game one.
Pop quiz, where's Nedeljkovic from?
I have no clue.
What would be your guess?
I don't know. Europe somewhere. Where's he from?
Ohio.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Right. He's from Parma, Ohio.
Really?
Yeah.
Who could forget? Have you been to Parma,
city.
Ohio?
No, okay. I have not.
All right.
I have not. But I noticed that last week or the week prior that he was not from Czech Republic.
Okay.
Which would have been my guess, and I would have lost a lot of money on FanDuel if that was a prop. Where's Nedeljkovic from?
Parma, Ohio.
I would have said Czech Republic.
Yeah. Could have been from Climax, Michigan, but nope, Parma, Ohio. Got to stick with it.
Yeah, not a lot of goalies coming out of Climax, Michigan.
That is true. I mean, you look at the numbers for Nedeljkovic this year, and he got 23 games this year, 15-5-3, a .932 save percentage, and a 1.90 goals against. So he's been very good for Carolina. Now, I think part of what makes Carolina so good, regardless of who's in goal, is the way they play in front of him. Like, the way they play defense in front of their goaltender has been their strength. And we talk about it. They've got a great forward lineup. Their defense, I think, is among the deepest in the entire National Hockey League. If I'm listing out the strengths of Carolina when you're breaking down those three position groups, I still put goaltender at third. So I guess you can feel good either way about that if you're the Predators. If you can get to him, maybe that rattles his confidence early. But I think, you know, it's funny to think about, but experience-wise, UC Saros has got the edge in between the pipes heading into this matchup.
Yeah, it's going to be a small group that, you know, that you can say that for him, you know, in comparison to the other guy. But it's interesting, and I think Sarah Sivian, you know, who of course covers the Canes for us at The Athletic, she had an interesting point last week about the goaltending situation. Like, it's almost like I think there's definitely the expectation that we could see both guys somewhat early.
Yep. Now,
of course, if you're the Canes and you play great and you win and you're not giving anything up, great. But the idea that, you know, we could see both early and that it might help if, like, one of them is just way better than the other, you know, and then they just kind of go with that guy. But if you're the Preds, I mean, you like the fact that, you know, that they're in that situation, I think, you know, that there's some uncertainty, because I just feel like if you're a team that has a guy who's rolling like the Preds are, there's a certain confidence that gives you. Not to say that Carolina wouldn't be confident in either guy, but I just don't think that's where you want uncertainty. And we've seen teams make deep runs with, you know, using multiple players, multiple goalies, and it can work out fine. But I don't know that it's – I just think if you're checking pros and cons, edges for the Preds, there aren't a lot, but that to me is certainly one of them.
Well, I think so. And I think we were talking about it. Could there be some carryover between the last couple of games that the Predators closed this thing out with in the regular season and this playoff series? I thought Nedeljkovic was fine in the game they played here on that Saturday night. I thought Mrazek was shaky. So if you can run Nedeljkovic early and get him out of there and get them to the point where they're thinking about making a goaltending change, I think you've got confidence with the way you played against Mrazek in that last game. If you can create some doubt there in Brenda Moore's mind and in the minds of those two goaltenders, how many times have we seen that happen in a playoff series where goaltending just starts to spiral? Like, we joke about this sometimes and think back to the loss of Johansson and Fisher in that Anaheim series, but we often forget, like, Gibson in Anaheim was out in those last couple of games, and Bernier had to come in, and the Predators just lit him up. I mean, that's one of those things where if you don't have two goalies that you feel great about, if you're Carolina, that can be a problem in a playoff series. I think the Predators feel great about their goaltending right now. I think Carolina feels good about their goaltending right now, but just based purely on the goaltenders themselves, I think the edge is pretty clearly for the Predators.
And, of course, we come back around to – I mean, it's also – it's going to be a bigger challenge for Saros, I think, than his counterpart, whoever it is, just because – I think we've seen enough of Carolina this year. They are tough to handle. They're tough to deal with. They create chances. They're going to be fast tonight. They're going to be fast in this series. They jump all over you. And, I expect Saros to be in a position where he's going to have to really rise up and equalize things. So it's not necessarily the best position to be in, especially when you're – you know, a guy like him who's sort of, you know, you're still trying to chart your path here in this league in terms of long-term with this franchise. This is a very tough assignment, but the way he's played, you've got to think that he's going to be up for it.
When we come back, we will revisit our poll question of the day and also get some predictions from Ryan Porth and Joe Rexroad as well. Who's going to win this series between Carolina and the Nashville Predators? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's revisit our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. What is your prediction for the Preds and Hurricanes in this first round series that gets underway tonight? Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And the options are this. The Hurricanes win in 4 or 5 games. The Hurricanes win in 6 or 7 games. The Predators win in 4 or 5 games. Or the Predators win in 6 or 7 games. The Preds at 6 or 7 games is the winner of our poll question. 46% say the Preds win in 6 or 7. 25% say the Canes win in 6 or 7. 22% say the Hurricanes win in 4 or 5 games. And 7% say the Predators win in 4 or 5 games. So, Joe Rexroad, the final results say the Predators win in 6 or 7 games, 46% of the vote. Your reaction to the results of our poll question today at 102.5 The Game on Twitter.
I expected that category to win. I'm actually a little surprised the Preds in 4 or 5 was the distant fourth.
I am too.
A little bit surprised by that. So the Preds fans who think their team's going to win at least think it will be a challenge. So that's good.
There's not a whole lot of calls for a sweep in this series, but you know what? We'll see what happens. You can't sweep them without winning game one. That's the wisdom that I'm going to dole out today here on the show. There can't be a sweep without winning game one.
That's a very true statement.
That's what we do here on the show.
2017, it was a sweep. So
it was. A lot of comparisons being thrown around. So with that in mind, I've already given my prediction in this series. I have Carolina winning this series in 6 games. I think the Predators are going to make a series of it. I think it's going to be competitive. But at the end of the day, I just think Carolina has too much firepower on the table. Joe Rexroad, let's start with you. Your prediction for this series between the Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes, how do you envision this series playing out?
I'll go one game beyond you. I'm going to go Hurricanes in 7. I think we're going to see how great they are in the course of this series. I think we're going to see how much the Preds have changed. I think it's going to be a really good series. Both sides obviously going to get their shots in, they're going to win games. It's going to come down to it, and I think at home, the better team is going to end up prevailing in 7.
So Carolina in 7 by Joe Rexrode. Robbie Stanley taking Carolina in 6.
Better not go 7 games.
Ryan Porth. Hey, I know. That's not good news for you if it goes 7 games. That's for
it
sure.
Is not.
Ryan Porth, your prediction for the series between the Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes.
Is this really going to shock you?
No.
Preds in 6.
There you go.
Preds in 6 is my official prediction, and I'm not just saying that. It's something I believe in. I feel like this team has been playing playoff hockey for the last month, month and a half, and it doesn't make sense on paper why the Preds would beat the Canes, but how many upsets in the Stanley Cup playoffs over the years do make sense?
Sure.
When it's going into the playoffs. And I think with a hot goaltender, we all know that can be a great equalizer. And UC Saros has been playing fantastic for the last 2 months. I would not expect that to change. And the physicality, I think, is going to get under Carolina's skin, and they end up prevailing in the series in 6 games.
So Ryan Porth selecting the Predators in 6. Joey from Gallatin on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, also selecting the Predators to win in 6 games as well. Just got a text that says Preds in 4. So the Preds generating some momentum here on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, especially like if the Preds, if they can win this one tonight and get up early in this series, how do you respond if you're Carolina? Now, they've got some playoff experience. Like, they've got some guys that have been through this before, and I've seen people overreact all the time to a game one win by a team. But I will say, like, if you're the Predators and you can go out and get one tonight, all of a sudden that confidence is going to be pretty high. Like, I thought it was important for them, especially in that Saturday game, to get a win against Carolina, to show that they can do it for themselves. If you can come out and play that same style tonight and you win again, then I think you're really going to start to see some confidence flowing from this Predators team. This is a massive one tonight, and I think early on you're probably going to have to weather a storm if you're the Predators. Like, I would expect Carolina – you see what I did there?
Yeah.
I would expect Carolina to come out there in the first 10 minutes – and they're going to be humming. Can you handle that if you're the Predators? That, to me, is going to go a long way to whether or not they can win this game tonight.
So the Preds are going to be facing a storm from the Hurricanes?
Thank you, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Cool. Well done.
Thanks.
Well By the done, way, well the game one, yeah. The look. Game one winner of the last 15 series involving the Nashville Predators, yep, have gone on to win the series. So game one has usually been a good barometer for the rest of the series.
Yep.
And the Preds have to get one of these two. I mean, because when you talk about pressure, it will shift squarely to them, and it'll be great to be home and all that stuff, but the pressure will have taken a big shift. The Pred will go from low pressure to high pressure, if you want to continue the weather puns, if they come back here.
Jeez.
And are down 0-2. They got to get one.
Frank on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, are you guys sick of previews and predictions? Let's get this series started already. Yes, we are sick of previews and predictions. This feels like it has taken forever to get around to this game one. I don't know if it's just because they've been playing every other day basically for the last 2 months, but this feels like an eternity from Pecorine's game last week until now.
Not quite what it felt like before, like the playoffs last year in Edmonton, but yes, it's especially with all these great playoff games going on, it's exciting to finally get this going. So yes, Frank, very sick of it.
Got a texture that says the Preds will choke and lose this in 4 games. So that took a turn on the text line.
Was that Ben?
No,
because Ben is always doom and gloom.
I don't think it was Ben.
Okay.
4 games. I don't anticipate a sweep either way. That would just be my guess.
Who said all of the sudden?
I don't know.
All the sudden.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Someone is very angry. It says it's all of a sudden, not all the sudden, all in all caps.
I don't know.
Maybe text line is just all over the place.
All over the place today on the text line. We'll be all over the place tomorrow covering this Predators game. Game one tonight for the Predators. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rexrode. Darren Donica Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.